Thank you, Don, for that reading. Appreciate it very much. And I hope that you will note where this passage is in your Bible, particularly verse 17. Any males that are in the assembly who have been or are Boy Scouts know the Scout motto. Derek, do you know the Scout motto? Would you say it so everyone can hear it? Be prepared. Exactly. This is one of the very first things that you learn as a Boy Scout. And the second class achievement award depicts a scroll upon which the words of the Scout motto appear. Be prepared. According to the handbook, the Scout motto means that you are always in a state of readiness of mind and body to do your duty. Be prepared in mind by having disciplined yourself to be obedient to every order, and also by having thought out beforehand any accident or situation that might occur, so that you know the right thing to do at the right moment and are willing to do it. Be prepared in body by making yourself strong and active and able to do the right thing at the right moment and do it. In June of 1996, four adults and six youths, all Boy Scouts, embarked on a scheduled six-day hike through the Grand Canyon. 2 days into that hike, the group's water bottles were dry and fatigue had set in. One of the leaders couldn't continue, and he took refuge under the shade of a rock and covered himself with an emergency blanket in hopes of escaping the sun's rays, while the others continued toward the Colorado River to get water. Temperatures reached 112 degrees that day. As time went on, the adults had to stop, and the boys decided to wait on the trail while three of the scouts continued the hike to the Colorado River in search of water. When they reached a point only 100 yards away from the river, Boy Scout David Phillips, age 15, collapsed. Afterwards, David died from heat exhaustion. Park and Scout officials tried to determine how a Boy Scout group's Grand Canyon excursion ended tragically. And very simply, the answer was they were not prepared. They ran out of water. The Park Service recommends that each person carry 1 or 2 gallons per day in the Grand Canyon. The survivors were evacuated by helicopter the following day. Less than a week later, rescuers evacuated another group of parched scouts from the very same canyon. If they had anticipated being thirsty, they would have taken enough water. The Boy Scout motto should be the motto of every Christian. If we were planning to take a hike through the Grand Canyon, and if we failed to prepare by taking enough water, would we leave the canyon alive? More importantly, on a much grander scale, involving something much, much greater than physical life, is the beckoning of the Creator of the universe to all mankind to be prepared. Please look with me in your Bible to see this gracious warning. We are so very thankful for your presence this morning, especially if you're visiting with us. We appreciate so much your being here. We hope that you brought your Bibles and will be willing to look. I will pause when I mention a scripture and give you time to look in your Bible. I appreciate you doing that so very much. The first point in the lesson is, be prepared. That's what John said for the coming of Jesus Christ. Our text in Luke 1, particularly verse 17, is very important. God's agent, John, will have this great purpose. And notice what this great purpose is. To make ready for the Lord a people prepared for Him. This people will have everything that the Lord will require when the Lord comes. The end result of John's ministry, of this preparation, will therefore be bringing a people, bringing this people who are well prepared before the Lord. That is, fit for the Master's use, to use an expression of 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. Now please look at Luke 3 and verse 2 beginning. Luke 3 beginning in verse 2. In the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the region round about the Jordan, preaching the baptism and repentance unto remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now notice this. Notice what this voice cries. Make ye ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Like some grand oriental king in festive procession, with criers sent out far in advance to have the road fitly prepared for his royal progress down this way, so the Lord is here shown moving out to his captive people, who are pictured as being far, far out in the wilderness. Every ravine shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, so that this great highway may run straight and true. Straight and true, and not need to bend to the right or the left at all. And at the same time, run smooth and level to its destination. Are we talking about just literally highway construction here? There's much, much more in the passage than that. The desert, the wilderness, is imagery. It's used figuratively by Isaiah to represent the hindrances and obstacles which separate people from Jehovah God. They are obstacles of the heart, and so a road must be prepared through them on which Jehovah may come to his people to deliver them. When people perceive the moral and the spiritual significance of the prophet Isaiah's imagery, which is quoted by John in this passage, its application to John's call to repentance will then be understood. The wilderness and its obstacles are found in the hearts of people. That's where the Lord's way needs to be prepared. Impenitence, whatever its form, is the real hindrance to the Lord's coming to men's hearts. It's like ravines, like mountains. And therefore, John's call was great. And his call was repent, which struck at the heart of people who should be prepared for the Lord's coming. The hearts of Israel were to be changed. And that preparation was a spiritual preparation. It consisted in the deep conviction of God and who his Messiah would be when he came. This deep conviction and confession that you are unfit to appear before God now. There's something that needs to be changed. There's a preparation that needs to be made before God's Messiah comes among you. You are unfit. The call to preparation must effect a complete change of mind and heart. And this implies that they must make straight his paths, meaning that they must provide the Lord with a ready access to their hearts and to their lives. They must make straight whatever was crooked, not in line with whatever was not in line with God's holy will. They must clear away the obstacles which they had thrown into his path, such obstructions as self-righteousness or smug complacency in saying, well, we have Abraham as our father. That wouldn't work. The four conditions would be ideal for men to hear what God had to say to them to save their eternal souls. John was sent by God to prepare the ground, to till the soil, to get it ready for planting, so to speak. To make ready for the Lord a people prepared for Him. Be prepared, John said, for the coming of the Lord. We see another message of be prepared in the Scriptures when Jesus said to Simon Peter, in effect, be prepared for the trials that are coming to you. Luke 22 and verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31, beginning. Luke 22 and verse 31, beginning. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I made supplication for thee, that thy faith fail not. And do thou, when once thou hast turned again, establish thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, with thee I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day until thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Can you picture this conversation? When the Lord says, Peter, I made supplication for you that your faith fail not. Well, what is he saying there? He's saying, in effect, I've done what I can do for you to help you be prepared. Now look at what Peter says. Lord, with thee, I am ready to go to prison and death. Peter says, I'm prepared. I'm prepared. Now notice what the Lord says. Thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. No, Peter, you are not prepared. Is there a lesson here for us in Peter's proud overconfidence and trust in his own powers? Could there be a lesson there that we might benefit from? Straws are they in a hurricane that is about to descend on Peter's head. Simon answers the warning of his Lord thusly, I'm ready, I'm prepared. How can Satan harm Simon when he's so strong and valiant? How can he touch him? If it should come to such a test, even prison, even death, those things have no terrors for Peter at all. He does not say, by the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will do such and such. He doesn't say, by the strength of God's help, I will do such and such. Simon's reaction to Jesus' warning and intercession for him is that Jesus can count on him and need never worry at all about a man who is as brave as he is. Poor Simon Peter. Proud, but unprepared. How would we have reacted when the Lord said to me, you are not prepared? How would I react? Would I just say, oh yes I am? Like it were a matter of whoever said the strongest words was the winner of that argument and would take the cake. Would that be my response? Do strong words make the difference on whether I'm prepared or not? What about stopping your ears? Would that mean you're prepared? When the Lord says, you are not prepared, I don't want to hear it. Would that mean that I'm prepared because I choose not to hear it? If I refuse to hear what the Lord says, would that make me prepared? And what about running away and hiding? Why didn't Peter just turn and run? Why didn't he seek a men's room somewhere where he could hide from the Lord? Would that have made the difference? Would he have been prepared if he could somehow run away and hide and go somewhere else? Can you imagine a scene like this? Four adults and six youths, all Boy Scouts, scheduled on a six-day hike through the Grand Canyon. The leader says, let's check our equipment to make sure that we're prepared. First aid kit, check. Knife, check. Map, check. Compass, check. Water, check. Enough water. Signal mirror. Two-way radio. Cell phone. Climbing rope. Are we prepared? Yes, let's go. The excitement is high. Everyone's looking forward to a great time. We're prepared. Let's go. 2 days into the hike, the group's water bottles were dry and fatigue had set in. The death of a 15-year-old and the near death of the others was a horrible price to pay for not being prepared. Horrible. But something much, much greater is at stake. In this great adventure of the Grand Canyon of all our lives, something much greater is at stake. Our great scout leader in heaven is calling to us and saying, are you prepared? And what is our answer? Jesus said, be prepared for a great day is coming. John 5 and verse 24. John 5, beginning in verse 24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath eternal life, and cometh not into judgment, but hath passed out of death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is a Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. God is calling. He's calling to the hikers in his canyon. Are you prepared? Be prepared. Hear the word of Christ and believe God. Hear his word and live. Do good and receive the resurrection of life. Avoid evil. Be prepared. Sadly, we realize that most people are not prepared for judgment. But we're concerned with you this morning here, present in this assembly. Are you prepared for the judgment of God? The sinner is not prepared for judgment. Are you guilty before God? Or are you forgiven before God? Will strong verbal affirmations make you prepared before God? Matthew 12, beginning in verse 36. Matthew 12. Beginning in verse 36. Jesus said, "And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Be prepared, my friend. Be prepared. Not with a cocky, overconfident attitude like Peter had before the Lord, when the Lord knew full well what Peter was about to do. Not with that cocky, overconfident self-assurance that he had before he ended up falling flat on his face. Be prepared. In July of just last year, Bryce Gillies, an Eagle Scout, an engineering student, an experienced outdoorsman, came to celebrate his 20th birthday with a hike through the Grand Canyon. He was thirsty and hot after a long day of brutal hiking on Saturday in mid-July. But he couldn't do anything about it. He ditched his water bottles and food, and there was no way for him to go back and retrieve those. He had jumped sheer rock faces, some more than 30 feet, on his way down to the Colorado River, and it would be nearly impossible to climb back up them. There was also no way down to the river below. He had descended on a clearing that led to a drop of about 80 feet, and the fall would have killed him. He couldn't go to the left or right because tall rock walls that defined those boundaries were vertical. They were straight up, and there was no footing for him to be able to climb. This is the place where Bryce's hike ended. Rescuers found his body here, sitting on the ground, resting against a boulder. The Coconino County Medical Examiner later determined that Gillies died of heat stroke and dehydration. 1 week after that young man entered the Grand Canyon, they took his body out of it. Someone thought he made a wrong turn. The Eagle Scout was not prepared. Someone commented on this incident by saying this, and you can appreciate the feelings here. "I feel badly for the family and for him. It's very bad. But he made several mistakes before he even started. Hiking alone, not telling anyone in the park what he was going to do, not getting a permit, which was, by the way, required, not mapping out his path ahead of time and on a GPS. Any one of these things done differently could have provided a different outcome. I say all this as a lesson and warning to others. I hope they do some good." Is there a lesson here for us? Is there a lesson about not being prepared? Is there a lesson for us about not heeding warnings? Where was his climbing rope, I'm wondering? In Matthew 24 and verse 42, Jesus tells his disciples to watch therefore, for you know not the hour. You know not what day when your Lord cometh. Therefore, be ye also ready. Paul echoes this very same thought when he writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, "So then let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober." And John records the words of Christ in Revelation 22 and verse 12, where the Lord said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to render to each man as his work is." These verses, as well as others in the Bible, remind us of the inevitability of meeting God in judgment. As the song states, there is a great day coming. And it seems that the vast majority of humanity is failing to prepare for that day? How many church members are failing to prepare for that day? James warns us that this physical life is too uncertain to go unprepared to meet our Maker in James 4 and verse 14. If we wish to have an eternal home with God, we must prepare now. That's the key. How different the outcome might have been had 15-year-old Boy Scout David Phillips taken enough water with him on his hike? How different the outcome might have been had 20-year-old Eagle Scout Bryce Gillies taken a climbing rope with him on his hike? How different the outcome might have been had the Jews prepared their hearts to receive the Messiah by self-examination, by repentance from evil, by confession to God of their sins, and by baptism at the hands of John. How different the outcome might have been had Simon Peter prayed for strength and courage, had he sought the Lord's counsel to strengthen him for the trial that was about to fall on his head. How different the outcome might have been had our nation been prepared on December the 7th, 1941, for the surprise attack by the Japanese on Pearl Harbor. How different the outcome might have been had our nation been prepared on September the 11th, 2001, for the surprise attack on the World Trade Center. When we finally meet God in judgment, our attitude will greatly influence the outcome of that day. Countless numbers will be lost because their hearts and their attitudes are not right before God. Precious souls will be left outside the marriage feast crying, "Lord, open to us." Matthew 25. They thought they had a little more time. Many, because of a selfish attitude, will be asked, "And the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be?" Luke 12. They desired to serve themselves rather than God. You know what your attitude is. You know if you're making preparation to meet God in judgment or not. Is your attitude and service to God what it should be? You know the right things to do. And this is the right moment to do it. The question is, are you willing? Are you prepared? Remember the words of the Old Testament prophet Amos in chapter 4 and verse 12, "Prepare to meet thy God." Great advice from an Old Testament prophet. Are you prepared today? Can we help you in your preparation? We'd love to do that. We'd give our lives for the salvation of your soul if we could. We're serious about it, because God is serious. Can we help you as a believer in Christ to have the courage and the strength to confess Him before men, to repent of sins in your life, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins like the Bible teaches? Can we help you do that today? We would love that opportunity. Please think carefully about that. And if we can help you, please come to the front while we stand together and encourage you by the singing of this song.